This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Dozens of trucks loaded with relief supplies have been entering the Gaza Strip. But because of unrelenting Israeli airstrikes and incursions, the humanitarian situation there remains grim. Omar Abdel Manan is a British-Egyptian physician who's been talking with doctors in Gaza.
A lack of medical supplies and the continual bombing of healthcare facilities or threats to healthcare facilities is essentially for them hell on earth.
Will Congress approve additional aid to Israel and Ukraine? CBS's Scott McFarlane is on Capitol Hill.
The House returns here Wednesday. They're going to get to this bill first, according to the new House Speaker, but I wouldn't assume immediate instantaneous passage.
The six-week-long auto worker strike has come to an end after the United Auto Workers Union came to terms with GM. UAW President Sean Fain.
We wholeheartedly believe that our strike squeezed every last dime out of General Motors.
The tentative deal with GM appears to mirror the one with Ford and Stellantis. A lot of questions are being asked about the man who shot and killed 18 people last week in Lewiston, Maine, including, was enough done to prevent the tragedy? More from CBS's Matt Piper.
A testy back and forth between Maine Governor Janet Mills and reporters.
Excuse me. Please lower your voice, please. I'm not here to argue.
It's over reports that police across the state were alerted last month about threats made by the mass shooter. The county sheriff's office now says they were contacted by his family back in May, concerned for his well-being. As recently as September 17th, the deputy spoke to the shooter's brother, who said he would work to secure firearms the killer had access to. An alert was subsequently issued urging officers to use extreme caution, saying the man was armed and dangerous. It was canceled 1 week before the shooting rampage.
The judge has told border agents to stop cutting up the razor wire installed along the Rio Grande by the state of Texas. The story from reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
Federal Judge Alia Moses ordered the border agents to stop cutting the razor wire pending the outcome of a November 7th hearing. Last week, Texas sued the Biden administration to stop the practice. The Department of Homeland Security claims it's responsible for protecting migrants from being injured, regardless of their legal status.
New research predicts cardiovascular-linked deaths caused by extreme heat are projected to double between 2036 and 2065. Study lead author Dr. Sameed Katana is an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania.
That increase is expected to be greater amongst non-Hispanic Black adults compared to non-Hispanic white adults in the United States.
Dr. Katana says more research is needed to understand how we can make cities cooler to protect the health of the vulnerable in a warming world. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, I gotta clear this. A disappointing weekend for football. The Badgers lost. The Packers lost. And even if you're a Vikings fan, you lost your quarterback, probably for the season, maybe a career-ending Achilles injury to Kirk Cousins. And of course, the Bears still suck. They're the only team in the division worse than the Packers right now.
Packers, you know who didn't lose, Curdy? The mighty Lions. Hear them roar playing tonight, Monday Night Football. Go Lions.
Yes, yes. Go Lions. Yeah. You know, the only good news in sports, as far as I was concerned this weekend, UW lacrosse. You know, our Eagles are, we're alumni of this fine university and football factory in Western Wisconsin. They're ranked number 4 in Division 3 right now, man. They smoked Eau Claire this weekend. No offense to our blue collar friends, but 59 points they put up.
Damn.
And I went up to God's country this weekend. I was up there, so I'd like to think I brought a little of that luck.
Why didn't you do that to, you know, I don't know, Madison for the Badgers or Green Bay for the Packers, man? It was all the Crudy mojo rolling into lacrosse, man.
Apparently, I used all the good stuff up in God's country, Dom. I took the youngest Crudy. You know, he's considering following in his papa's footsteps.
Well, he may want to consider a name change.
Just in case the wanted posters are still up.
I'm just saying. He's about as tall as you, man. He's getting big, these kids. He's got much more hair, though.
Oh.
And, you know, he's better looking. He's got Liza's side of the family.
Yes, yes. He's got all those things going for him. But he's got the Crudy wit and brain, right? And he's not a half bad salesman. He's working on it. But Dom, anyways, went up to lacrosse, had a good time, skipped the Packer game, listened to it on the radio. Mostly civic media coverage. Listened on WRCO 100.9 FM. But I'm glad I didn't watch much of that game, Dom. That was hard to watch. That was terribly hard to watch. I actually found the Badger game against Ohio State on Saturday night. And it's always, God, man, we haven't beat Ohio State in so freaking long. And I hate Ohio State. Did I ever mention that?
Just once.
Really, amongst all the Big Ten schools, there's only one I hate. And it's Ohio State. It's the Buckeyes. And they come into town. And they didn't hand us our asses like I was kind of expecting after last year's blowout. But still, Dom, you know, late in the game, a little bit of a chance. No chance. Ohio State, just the better team. Still, for the last 13 years, Now, we haven't played them each and every year, but, you know, we haven't beaten them since 2010, I believe.
Whew.
Yeah, that sucks. Indiana. We'll get healthy this Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. Indiana. Although, Braylon Allen may be out. Our tailback. Add him to the mix of players that are injured. And Middleton High School lost. Congratulations, Verona. They played a hell of a game Friday night. But, you know, where my son attends, they're done. They're done for the year. So I guess we're just stuck talking about politics now.
That's right, man.
Very little sports to enjoy or commiserate about at the water cooler on Monday morning. So let's get into the politic. And Governor Tony Evers filed a brief, right? Amicus brief in the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the redistricting case. And Channel 3000's got some coverage at this hour of this, Dom. So let's start there. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call are calling on the state Supreme Court to throw out the current legislative maps as part of a response brief filed Monday. Evers issued a short statement on social media after the brief was filed, saying he wanted the current maps to be ruled unconstitutional. I share that sentiment, Governor Evers. Here's what he said. It's simple. Not one more election should be held under the gerrymandered maps we have now, and we must have new maps in place before the next election. Period. Period, Dom, when you type out period and then you put a period.
What? No,
you know caps, you're serious.
Exclamation points.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court announced Friday, October 27th, that it had recently voted to accept three new cases, including Clark versus Wisconsin Elections Commission, the lawsuit filed against the WEC, claiming the state's current legislative maps, which determine the districts represented in the Wisconsin state legislature, are unconstitutional, Dom, because they violate the Wisconsin state constitution separation of powers doctrine and should be redrawn.
Yes, Crudy, I concur. Channel 3000 goes on. The case centers on the claim that the majority of the current districts, 54 of 99 in the assembly and 21 of 33 in the Senate, are illegal because they are not contiguous.
Don't get Mark from the sack going.
Man, Mark's been preaching this from day one. The lawsuit also asks the Supreme Court to force every member of the state legislature, 132 members between the Assembly and Senate, to be up for re-election at the same time under new maps. The brief filed by Evers and Call on Monday expressed support for those arguments. A quote, "The meaning of contiguous is clear. It requires physical connection. Historical evidence supports this, including the original rationales behind the contiguity requirement to prevent gerrymandering and create districts with uniform needs. Wisconsin's maps should be revamped to make legislative districts contiguous, conforming with constitutional districting requirements and enhancing the democratic power of voters," the response says. Brief also argues the previous court, which held a 4-3 conservative majority before Justice Janet Protasiewicz won her election by a double-digit margin in April, made a mistake in their redistricting decision that implemented a map proposal that had already been vetoed by Evers. Another quote, "It supercharged the legislature's power at the expense of the governor's and court's own constitutional roles in the redistricting process," the governor's brief argues. "Under these unique circumstances, the court's decisions stretch the Wisconsin's constitution separation of powers architecture beyond its permissible bounds. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has set oral arguments on the case for November 21.
Looking forward to that date. Red letter day on my calendar, Dom.
Like 3 weeks, dude.
3 weeks. Not soon enough. It's just been like 10 years coming, this lawsuit.
And why would it take this long? You know, if you look at the
map, this is the makeup of the court prior.
Well, I mean, contiguous is contiguous, right? You could literally see like little spots that are like separated from the district it claims to represent, you know, all the way around. There's space around it. You can see very evident in the maps that there are areas that are not contiguous. You know, full stop. I mean, what else do you need? They got to be contiguous. They're not. Okay, they're bad. Just throw them out, redo them. And how could you even approve maps that don't meet the requirement? Are you kidding me?
Well, not only that, the separation of powers aspect of this lawsuit, Dom, is because Governor Tony Evers vetoed these very specific maps from the legislature. In fact, the Wisconsin Supreme Court on first ruling said Governor Tony Evers' maps, although they still favored the Republicans at that time, Dom, they were the least changed maps, right? The Republicans wanted the least changed maps because that baked the prior gerrymander into the cake. The 10 years prior, we started from there. And then you got to do the least change. And Evers had those. He vetoed the legislative maps. And then they were forced to institute vetoed maps, which is where the, what, the separation of powers issues constitutionally comes in under this lawsuit as well. So there are a couple of good rationales, Dom. I think very strong rationales. Lack of contiguous districts and separation of powers in that Evers vetoed the very maps that were instituted here. I think we're on to something, Dom.
3 weeks from tomorrow, oral arguments will begin in the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
I wonder how quickly we would get a ruling. This year? I think it would be this year. I think we would know. Especially if they think they're going to run it up the flagpole of the federal courts,
well,
right?
Yeah, man. I mean, time is of the essence. Obviously, we got, you know, elections never stop. We've been dealing with this for a long time. So kudos to Evers and AG Call. Good luck on all of that. I cannot wait for this to be argued out in court.
Dominic, we've got more Evers news. Governor Evers being featured in the headline over at the Journal Sentinel at this hour. Evers cast doubt on bill addressing PFAS, calls it questionable. Governor Tony Evers, this reporting from Laura Schulte over at the Journal Sentinel. Governor Tony Evers says he may veto a bill aiming at supporting communities struggling with forever chemicals if some provisions are not reworked or removed. Here is what he says. It does not hold anybody accountable. It takes away the powers and authority of the DNR. I'm concerned the Department of Natural Resources has, I think, a somewhat limited ability to deal with this issue. And to hamstring on this issue, which is probably the most important issue that they need to be working on, that doesn't make any sense. When asked if he plans to sign the PFAS bill, if it makes it to his desk, Evers didn't commit either way. I don't know. It's questionable. It remains to be seen. Evers did note there are parts of the bill he supports, such as getting money to communities struggling with PFAS. The PFAS bill, if approved by the governor, would create grant programs aimed at providing aid to communities with contamination, in addition to limiting the actions of the Department of Natural Resources could take to address contamination or hold the polluters accountable. Well, why would we want to do that, Tom? A little bit more here. What am I looking for? Here's a quote from the Save Our Water Group, an advocacy group. To say the authors didn't listen to the residents impacted by PFAS contamination across Wisconsin does not begin to describe how they kowtowed to corporate interest and their apologists while locking their constituents out of their deliberations. Yeah, I'd say that about covers.
Yeah, that's a Republican bill. I mean, that's exactly what they do. Oh, you got a PFAS problem? Tax breaks. And shield the, you know, folks that are what responsible for it.
You know, I saw it on Facebook this weekend. The Green Bay Bears. Is it getting that bad? Is it that bad? It's pretty damn close. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocate. This show never sucks. At least in our humble opinion. Come back. Be a part. 844-967-2789. John Nichols joining very, very soon.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 24 overnight under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, snow showers likely 35. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Feel free to join us, 844-967-2789. John Nichols going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Dom, a couple of interesting messages here on the text line. Matt from Germantown texting, Skull! I think that's a dig on all us Packer fans. Here's another one, WMDX, West from Middleton texting, Bucks laid an egg at the Fiserv Forum last night, too.
Ooh, yeah.
But Flavor Flav brought the house down with the national anthem, though. Did he? I got one more text, and then we're going to give you a little taste of the Flavor Flav at the Fiserv last night, Dom. Here is what your pal Jeff from Sherwood had to say. Come on, Crudy, be better. There are several Big Ten teams to hate. Michigan, Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin hockey swept former number one Minnesota. I knew that. Just open a bottle of wine so I can handle Dom. We've all done a little day drinking around Dom through the years, Jeff.
Glad I can be here for you guys.
Now, you didn't hear Flavor.
No, I haven't. I've seen, the headlines, and I just did not dig into it because, whatever. But apparently, man, some people liked it. Some people were kind of not too happy about it. So I'm anxious to hear it.
Well, I've seen him as sort of the hype guy, and we've seen him in concert. We saw Chuck D and Flavor Flav. We saw Public Enemy at Summerfest, you and I.
Yeah.
And Flavor Flav was walking through the crowd on somebody's shoulders and almost fell off. And I had to give him my hand, and I held on to him, and I got him through. And he said, "Yeah, boy."
Yeah, he did.
You know how he does. So, anyways, Dom, in case you missed it, here is Flavor Flav singing the national anthem karaoke style.
Proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars.
It is my opinion, the Milwaukee Bucks did not want to win last night. They threw that game, man. That national anthem cost them the ball game. Hawks lit them up last night.
Well, not having Middleton might have helped not help them as well. But Flavor Flav, that's it. That's the only sample we got. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know.
He's got the whole 2.5 minute song. We can play it off for you, Doug.
He's making an effort, man. I mean, it sounds like he's actually trying to sing the song. So, yeah, man, go Flav. What's the problem, Crudy? What are the haters hating on?
Well, pretty much the fact that he's not a very good singer. You realize this, right? You can hear the flatness of the tone. I've heard you sing.
I'm not a very good singer either, so I don't know what you mean by that. He has a mic, and he's singing. It sounds like he's a singer to me.
Can I make one other pop cultural reference I learned over the weekend, Dom?
Sure, man.
I was watching, what was it? The Saturday Night Live cold open. And I didn't even know who the comedian was, but I found him to be quite funny. But during the cold open, they did a little expose on new Speaker Mike Johnson. And I did not realize, but Speaker Mike Johnson has an adopted black son that he doesn't talk about. And they encouraged us to look it up. So I did. I Googled in real time. You know, during the cold open, they're like, and who's this? Well, that's Mike Johnson's black son. He never talks about, except when he analogizes, it's kind of like the blind side. Well, if you recall, Dom, the folks, not the people that made the movie, but the folks involved in the blind side had been accused of sort of, let's just say, making false representation about whether or not they actually adopted this kid. And apparently Johnson also hasn't adopted the kid because, you know, it's complicated. But he describes this adult black male as his son and just claims, you know, they just never got around to adopting him. Here is a brief telling of the story from the Daily Beast. This is a real story. New House Speaker Mike Johnson says it was the choice of his adopted, air quotes, black son Michael to keep a low profile, right down to his absence from the congressional bio and the family photos. Like, oh, no, no, he didn't want to be included in the family.
I mean, Scott Walker's love child, allegedly, you know, isn't really been poking around her head up about claiming to be Walker's kid. So, you know, it's not unheard of that a child or adopted child may not be, you know, fans of their quote unquote parents.
I think this is more like the Matt Gaetz and the Cabana Boys situation, Dom. Here's a quote. At the time of the speaker's election to Congress, Michael was an adult with a family of his own, Johnson spokesperson Corrine Dave said. He has to not be involved in their public life. Can you understand why? I mean, if you were Mike Johnson's kid, adopted or otherwise, would you be claiming the man? Especially if, like, you were his black son that he probably doesn't acknowledge publicly.
I would say this, so I haven't heard Mike Johnson, and of course, I've been in the news a whole lot recently, haven't heard anything about him referring to any of his other children. So, you know, black adopted or not adopted child or not, I haven't heard him talk about his kids at all.
Oh, he talked about him right on the, are you kidding me, dude? This was part of his opening speech.
No, I missed it.
When he was newly elected speaker, he like literally talked about his wife and kids. And that's, if I recall, the only reason why Mark Pocan knew the guy was married and had kids. Because he mentioned him during his speech. A little bit more. According to Johnson's spokesperson, he, Michael, the black son they don't talk about, has to not be involved in the new public life. The speaker has respected that sentiment throughout his career and maintains a close relationship with Michael to this day. They just don't talk about it. Johnson has said he took in Michael when he was a teen and raised him as a member of the family, and he has mentioned him in discussions of race, including his opposition to reparations. You know, because having a black son makes him oppose the idea that, you know, the deck was stacked against the black kids, and liken their relationship to the blind side. Because that's worked out so well for all parties concerned, that relationship. Dave said Michael, who's now 40, was not formally adopted because the process was difficult.
What? So did you claim him on your taxes? I mean, are you kidding me? I just don't understand. I mean, were you a legal guardian? Was it recognized whatsoever? Who enrolled him in school? You know what I mean? I mean, what? I don't know, man. I hate to like, and I get the reference.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The situation is dire in the Gaza Strip as Israel continues to strike terrorist targets in the heavily populated enclave. British Egyptian doctor Omar Abdelmanan has been speaking with doctors in Gaza.
They are treating patients on the floor. They're amputating patients' limbs without anesthetic. They have said this is horrifying. This is inhumane.
6 weeks after it began, the auto worker strike is over. The announcement by UAW President Sean Fain.
Now that we have a groundbreaking tentative agreement at GM, we're officially suspending our stand-up strike against each of the big three.
As the world warms, more people will die of cardiovascular incidents, says study lead author and assistant professor of medicine at the University of Pennsylvania, Dr. Sameed Katana.
Here in the United States, neighborhoods with a higher proportion of minority individuals have lower tree cover than other neighborhoods.
The Texas Rangers have beaten the Arizona Diamondbacks 3-1 to take a 2-1 lead in the World Series. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road again, Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. We're having a good time. Thank you, Hawk, the fine proprietor here. Always love when Hawk allows us to throw a little soiree. And Dom, we always appreciate when our friend Chris Taylor comes round. Now, we've known Chris since she was one of the highest vote-gathering assembly reps in the state of Wisconsin, and then on to the district courts. And now, appellate court judge Chris Taylor, friend of the Devil's Advocates. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks so much for having me. It's so much fun to be
good
here.
Good to see you, Chris.
We asked you off-air, if we came before the appellate court, would you have to recuse in that we are friends of... You are a friend of the Devil's, Chris.
I am your friend, but no, there would not be an automatic recusal. I'm not related to you. I haven't represented you, but I would have to make sure that I could be fair in judging the case. And if I thought I couldn't, then yes, I should recuse myself. But there's not an automatic, I wouldn't say there would be a statutory, mandatory recusal.
Well, that's good to know, because that's not just a hypothetical. I've appeared before the appellate court before.
Just for the record, we're always innocent.
You are presumed to be innocent. No doubt about that.
Chris Taylor, let's talk about your role as an appellate court judge. How has life changed for those that, you know, those of us that aren't lawyers? Tell us the difference. District court, appellate court, how's the job changed for you?
Sure. So I am now on the Court of Appeals, which is the most important court you've never heard of. It's essentially the second tier of our court system. The first tier is the trial courts, where if you watch Law and Order, that's where the judge has the gavel, that's where all the it all goes down. You have testimony, you take witnesses, you make findings of fact. Now I'm at what's called the Court of Appeals. That's the intermediate appellate court between the trial courts and the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And people have the right, the constitutional right, to appeal. So we hear many, many, many more appeals than the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They get to pick what they take. We don't pick it. We take everything. And what I do now is make sure that there weren't errors committed by the circuit court that may have deprived somebody of their due process rights or their constitutional rights to effective assistance of counsel. So that's what I do. I'm not sitting in a courtroom anymore. I'm actually in an office building reading and writing. And when we have oral arguments, because that's really the interface between us and the public, we do those in the state Supreme Court courtroom.
Chris, we hear the term original jurisdiction, and that generally, if I understand the term, means someone wants to jump right to the Supreme Court. And the criticism of original jurisdiction, as I hear it, is, but the Supreme Court's not in a position to take testimony. They aren't like the district court. So can you clarify that point for a minute? You sat on a bench, you presided over trials. That is quite a bit different than reviewing the work of someone else, even hearing oral testimony. That is different than a trial.
Absolutely. The trial court is really the place where the facts get sussed out, where we determine what happened, or a jury does. A jury determines whether someone's entitled to relief or somebody's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. That's not what happens at the appellate level. The Supreme Court's a bit different because the Constitution provides that they can take cases directly. Statutes also provide that if they're, it's typically been interpreted as statewide issues of importance. But I think you saw last Friday in the state Supreme Court's acceptance of what they were going to hear on the redistricting, they made a determination that three of the counts in the case that they took were too factually intensive for them to take on original jurisdiction. So they took counts 4 and 5. Counts 4 was the allegation that the 55 of the assembly out of 99 assembly districts were not contiguous in violation of the Constitution. They have districts are supposed to be contiguous. And secondly,
Mark is an advocate of contiguous districts.
Okay, contiguous, that's, you know, it's important. That's, yes. They're supposed to be contiguous. Yeah. And then secondly, there's an argument they're going to hear that the maps violate the separation of powers, because remember, Governor Evers vetoed the maps that are currently in existence and being implemented. And there's
an
argument.
Dom Lesso.
Yes, Dom Lesso. Okay, well, now I'm refreshing your recollection.
Thank you.
Effectively, so, it was the U.S. Supreme Court, the Evers veto of the legislative maps got run up the flagpole to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court said, find a different ruling, effectively, and Hagedorn flipped. And by doing so, that created this issue. The veto had already been issued. The very same maps that Evers had vetoed as the chief executive were the maps that were implemented.
Right, our current maps. So it's a very interesting separation of powers argument. So the state Supreme Court, in taking, just to get back to your original question, in taking original jurisdiction, they only took those two issues, finding the first three issues were just too factually intensive, that those issues really require fact-finding. And that's not typically what the state Supreme Court or the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to do either. So, but original jurisdiction is allowed in issues that are so fundamental to our state and of statewide importance.
Now, Chris, the one time I did appear before the Wisconsin Appellate Court, it was in the case ruled on by Markson, the Solidarity Sing-Along. And as you may recall, Markson threw it out and said it's unconstitutional to charge people for this conduct. This is the people's house. And the Walker administration took it to the appellate court, but it didn't just go to a singular judge. It went to an en banc ruling. Can you speak to that? Because my understanding is it's in the law books because when it's en banc, it becomes precedent setting. Explain that concept for a dumb guy like me, please.
Sure. No, it's what we do oftentimes at the Court of Appeals. A lot of the very important decisions that are published, and we make a determination as a panel whether we're going to recommend to a committee. I'm on that committee.
Is it always three?
It's always three here, and it is, I believe, in the federal system as well. So, yes, here in the Court of Appeals, there are certain instances where we don't have to have a panel of three. If it's a misdemeanor or if it's a small claims, there are statutory instances where we don't have to have a panel. And I have issued a one judge opinion is what they're called. But I believe that the Seventh Circuit, which is where you went, that's the intermediate appellate court in the federal system, they would have heard that case en banc, three.
No, I was in the state courts. You were in the state courts. Okay. And a few others.
So we don't necessarily say en banc. What we do is statutorily, the statutes differentiate on what cases can be decided by a one judge versus a three judge.
I'm digressing so terribly here with
you,
Chris.
That's what it is.
Appellate court judge.
So that's what happened.
Our fine guest, friend of the Devil's Advocates, Chris, thanks for joining us here at the Jade Monkey.
Chris, I want to get your opinion here. We've since the election, the fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin face no consequence. We've seen in other states, specifically our neighbor in Michigan, Dana Nessel, their AG, go after. Attorney General Josh Call has declined, at least so far publicly, to acknowledge that anything is going on. It seems like fraud to me. What's your thought?
Well, it's up to the Attorney General. We've seen the Attorney General bring these cases in other states. What I've heard most recently from our Attorney General is he's still investigating this. So I haven't necessarily looked at, is there a legal basis for a fraud claim? Clearly other states' Attorney Generals are pursuing that. It's really up to this Attorney General to look at that. What is very interesting is one of those false electors continues to serve on the Wisconsin Elections Commission.
Yes, Bob
which
Spindell.
I find to be interesting, that issue.
Interesting.
And you saw Republicans removed one of the Democrats on the Wisconsin Elections Commission today, Sarnicki.
Yeah, and I don't know why that was, quite frankly.
Because they can.
Because they can.
The
yeah, because they can. Okay, so Well, that is a lot of the rationale when I was in the legislature that was utilized. But I just find it interesting. This person is still serving on the Wisconsin Election Commission, who so clearly held out that he was just an elector when he was not.
Current cases right now, Josh Call did go forward with a lawsuit against Republicans for trying to also Administrator Megan Wolf.
Right.
And it came, and of course the Republicans were all fired up for many months about this, but in their legal filings yesterday, what was the terminology they used, Kurt? It wasn't performative, but They admitted
symbolic.
Thank
yes.
you, Judge. Have you ever had symbolic. A case come before you that were specifically only symbolic?
No. And if it were, it would be tossed out for failure to state a claim. Yeah, we don't typically decide symbolic cases. There actually has to be, you know, a legal issue.
Is that a thing?
Not that I know of. That has not been anything I've ever.
Have you ever
dealt with.
Seen? A litigant before the court so clearly have to say, I'm lying. I've been lying the whole time. Here it is in writing. Everything up until these words were lies.
Well, I'll tell you.
My characterization.
Okay.
I'm just wondering,
one
Judge
thing
Taylor.
That does happen a lot on the circuit court, and this is kind of a fundamental role of a circuit court judge, is they judge the credibility of witnesses. If they are the fact finder, and then it's the jury. If the jury is hearing a trial, they are the fact finders. But judging the credibility of parties and witnesses is a fundamental point of having a judicial system, having trials, having juries if they're the fact finder, or having the judge look at credibility. That is something that happens all the time in a circuit court is the assessment of credibility of a witness, a party, whoever it is. And in fact, there's a very lengthy instruction that the jurors are given about assessing the credibility of witnesses, that that is one of their roles.
You know, we are at a party, and I feel like I'm being a little boring here. Chris Taylor,
are
Judge
people bored? No, look, people are happy.
I feel
they're
like
they're drinking their drinks.
Let me ask you this, Chris.
Yeah, sure.
Your family lives in Madison. We're right here for a
not
reason.
Not far from here.
We've been all around the state, but this is the town I make home. Why do you make this town home? Why Madison?
Oh, I love this town. Because the people in this city I have never encountered. I've lived in a lot of places. I grew up on the West Coast, went to school on the East Coast, but been here most of my adult life. And I have just never encountered warmer, more caring, more compassionate people. And I love this community. And I, you know, made a conscious decision to raise my children here and have my family here. And I continue to be blown away by the people in this community every single day, in how much people care about each other, the great work people are doing. And thank you both for doing the great work that you do that really makes a difference in people's lives. But that's why I'm here, and that's why I will always live here.
Do you miss the legislature at all?
No. I miss my colleagues. I just saw some of my wonderful colleagues, Greta Neubauer, Robin Vining. I miss them. I love them. I love Melissa Agard. We're super good friends. So I miss the incredible group of people. I don't miss the conflict constantly. I just felt like you weren't able to do the work that the people really desperately needed you to do because of how partisan it was. Whereas in the courts, I really feel like you listen to people, facts matter, and you're trying to do justice every single day. And I love that. I just absolutely love that.
Chris Taylor, as long as I've known you, you've been a person on a mission. The appellate court, very high and esteemed position. But you can't tell me, sister, that's mission accomplished.
No. I think that's something we all ask ourselves every single day is how do we make this a better community? How do we improve people's lives? So that mission has not been accomplished, but that's what I strive to do every day.
Is there anything the Devil's Advocates could help you do, Chris? Or is there any announcements you'd like to make?
You know, just pay attention. Don't forget about the courts. The courts are very important. That's why I love talking about them. So these, you know, who you elect matters. Obviously.
Obviously.
So people, that applies to the judiciary as well.
Our friend, my neighbor, Chris Taylor. She's an appellate court judge and a friend of the Devil's Advocates for longer than I'd like to admit. Thank you so much, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Good to see you again.
Come back with us. We are at the Jade Monkey. It's beautiful. The crowd is growing. And you can be a part. Come party with the Devil's Advocates. We'll be here all night long.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 24. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, snow showers likely, 35. About an inch of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Political commentary from the back of the class.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. This is producer Nate. We are working on getting back Dom and Kroot, who are over at the Jade Monkey today. We should be getting them back in just a moment here. But in case you missed it, we just had appellate judge Chris Taylor on the show just a moment ago. And I believe we might have Dom and Kroot back.
Well, let's hope so, man.
Hey, we do.
At a party and not have a broadcast going on. So welcome back to the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. It's starting to fill up with good people here, Dom. The weather is great. The crowd is growing in the party. It's going all night. And the happier happy hour. Do you know we've got Milwaukee Corporate Counsel Maggie Dawn joining us here at the table in just a few minutes. Maggie Dawn doing her live show here from the Jade Monkey. She's got Anya here, her producer in the hizzy. Also, Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chairman, he's going to join us at the table at 5:30. Plenty of topics to talk about, Dom, including the fact we still lack for a Speaker of the House of Representatives, and they're putting off the vote another day. Jordan does not have the votes.
So they did one vote. I know that
one
for
vote.
Sure. Yep. And now
Jordan defeated. The crowd appreciates the fact that Jim Jordan will not be our Speaker.
Not today.
Defeated by 20-ish votes. There were like 8 for Scalise, 8 for McCarthy, and then a bunch of randos. And
what, some like write-in candidates? I mean, what?
Yes, literally, they just voted for Mickey Mouse. Dom, you might have gotten the voters too.
Right.
But Jim Jordan did not get the prerequisite number of votes to become the Speaker of the House. So class dismissed, go home.
I mean, didn't Hakeem Jeffries get more votes than Jim Jordan?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So shouldn't Hakeem Jeffries be the Speaker of the House?
By default.
I'm just saying.
I don't think that's how it works, though. But Jim Jordan's going to have to, go home and put a couple of guys in full Nelsons tonight? I mean, this has been a strong-arm campaign, and it's not working.
No, not working.
It's not working. Bill Press predicted that Kevin McCarthy would never be the Speaker of the House. And 15 votes later, Bill was wrong. Feel bad for Bill, but barely wrong. And it was a short-lived speakership. I ask you, make a prediction, Dom. Speaker Jim Jordan, now or ever?
No, no.
Never going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
Then what happens? Where do we go from here?
So I think they cut a deal with the Speaker pro tem. They give him 30 or 15 days. They'll work something out with the Dems. It's going to have to do something to get some governing done. But I don't see Jim Jordan. He lacked in the first vote. And, presumably if they come around for round two, he's going to lose some more. What do we got?
Jordan got 200 votes. Jeffries, 212.
Yeah,
there
we go.
And just so you know, Scalise, 7. McCarthy, 6. Lee Zeldin, 3. A guy named Emmer got 1. Garcia got 1. Cole got 1. And Massey got 1. I didn't even know some of those guys.
Right.
You don't know any of those guys except for Jim Jordan.
House delays second speaker vote after Jordan's loss. So that doesn't bode well, thank you. That does not bode well for Jim Jordan because, of course, you're already going to the mat with a pressure campaign that didn't obviously work very well. You enlisted, the help of Sean Hannity and faux news to try to get out there and strong arm some of the people who are not voting against you. Like that, hey, vote for me or I'm gonna do bad things to you.
I'm gonna hammer you.
Right? Like how is that bringing people along? How is that leadership? Well, of course it's not. He lacks the basic skills. He hasn't passed any legislation. People don't like him. And he's literally the biggest sycophant of Trump in the House. And if the claim is, well, we need someone to keep conservative press off of us, well, they've already lost. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me?
I'm not sure if he's the biggest sycophant of Trump. I thought that was Glenn Growth.
I mean,
he's
by the
man. He's the Trumpiest Trumpster,
perhaps,
mathematically speaking. But Jim Jordan was literally there seeking to stop the peaceful transfer of power.
Yes.
And how this guy has not been targeted for, let's say, criminal indictment in multiple jurisdictions, at least in the D.C. and the Jack Smith, I mean, I'm not clear how this guy can go and be the Speaker of the House if he's under current investigation, and I suspect he is, by the Department of Justice. But hell, Trump's going to go be president, right?
Exactly. The bar is so extremely low. So perhaps some sort of power sharing. Again, the Republican Party in disarray. If they don't come up with some sort of plan, if they don't engage the Democrats on this, and this is all on the Republicans. I've seen some spitballing McCarthy, former Speaker of the House McCarthy, getting into some...
Former future Speaker McCarthy?
Perhaps. Getting into the media's ass about, well, you know, these Dems went along with these, you know, eight Republicans. Well, you know, no, man. I mean, you have those Republicans could have gone along with Hakeem Jeffries today, and we'd have had a Speaker of the House. So that goes both ways. That doesn't fly. The Republican Party is in absolute disarray. It's getting worse.
I heard Glenn Grothman on your girl, Vicky, Whitey Righty Talk Radio, a little bit earlier this afternoon. He didn't really have a plausible path forward for the speakership.
No.
They don't really have a plan.
There's no plan.
I mean, there was plan A with McCarthy, and then they got rid of him. And then it's Scalise, and he was the pick of the caucus, but they didn't make him the speaker. And Glenn's bemoaning the fact, you know, if we were in a state senate, we, you know, even if you hate the guy, you still vote for the guy. And I'm thinking, are you talking about Chris Kapinka right now?
You resemble that remark.
Well, it was Mike Ellis, his buddy, back in the day, if you'll recall, Dom. And then he got, who is the O'Keefe outfit?
Well, what is the plan? It's like South Park, the underwear knows, man. Step one, steal underwear. Step three is profit. What's step two? Hey, what's step two? Anybody know what step two is? Nobody knows what step two is. There is no plan. There is no leadership.
Here's the plan. Jeff brought us drinks.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. We're at the Jade Monkey. We got fine guests coming, including Maggie Dawn. We've got Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin. We've got a fine crew of people sitting around commiserating, you know, listening to ours, our talks, our conversations.
And we got bags and bags of cookies.
Oh, did we mention the cookies? Oh, the generosity of the people.
Oh, my goodness.
I can feel the diabetes coming on right now.
You know, I'm on a weight bet, folks, so this is not going to bode well for me, but, well, I'll do my best.
Well, if they bring in loose joints, that'll also lead to future cooking.
Right.
Come on down, party with the Devil's Advocates here at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge, Cottage Grove Road, Madison, Wisconsin. The party's just getting started because we're doing another hour. We got Maggie Dawn joining us, our fine guest, and then we got Ben Wickler. And again, the Maggie Dawn Show going live from this very location right here at the Jade Monkey. So if you want to meet the golden goddess of broadcast, as Mark likes to call her, you better come down and meet Maggie Dawn and Anya. Anya's in the hizzy. Lots of Civic Media folks in the house. Come on down, party with us. Party with the Devil's Advocates. There ain't no party like a Jade Monkey party.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything.